Open your Bibles, the book of Psalms, chapter 102. It is a wonderful joy and blessing. Be back at the great church, the Open Door, here in Westminster, Maryland. I'll be quick to tell you that Dr. and Mrs. Norris Belcher, the Belcher family, and the church family of the church, the Open Door, are some of my favorite people, and this is one of my favorite places to come. I'm always excited and elated when I look at my calendar and see an approaching date when I'm to be with Dr. and Mrs. Belcher and the Church of the Open Door. There's much that's wrong with America, but when you flip that coin over, there's still much that's right with America. And one of the things that's right with America is a pastor and a pastor's wife and a pastor's family and a church staff and a church family that's of the cut and caliber of the Belchers and the Church of the Open Door. I certainly would be remiss if I did not take a moment and publicly congratulate Dr. and Mrs. Belcher on their 30th anniversary of being here in Westminster, Maryland. 30 years, three decades. That is worthy of a ticker tape parade. You say, well, what's the big deal about 30 years? Well, bless your heart, some of you, we can't get to 30 services in a row, let alone 30 years. And so I want to congratulate my dear friend and his precious wife, their good family, on such a milestone of ministry. So myriad of things that come to my mind when I think about Dr. Belcher, but right up towards the top of the list is he's a great preacher. I've never heard him preach, and I've heard him preach countless times. Never heard him preach, but what I've been blessed by his preaching prowess. And so it's just an added blessing to be in the pulpit these days, in the pulpit of a great preacher. And that's known not just in this auditorium or in this area code, in this region, in this country, but literally around the world. And so I'm thrilled to be here and trusting the Lord for great services. Now, if you're a member of the Church of the Open Door, I know you've already wiped your calendar clean and you're planning to be here for each and every service. Tonight at 6 o'clock, and then Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. If you're a member of the Church of the Open Door, then there's nothing that's going on these days that is as important as this revival meeting. So if it's not revival, just push it aside. Wipe your calendar clean. Put it aside. I don't know if you're planning on robbing a bank, if you're planning on shooting somebody, if you're planning on backsliding. Wait till Thursday. Just wait till Thursday. And don't let anything stand in your way of being in the revival meeting. So appreciate all of the singing this morning. Set the stage, no question, for the preaching of the Word of God. Book of Psalms, chapter 102, and I'll take but one verse of Scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 11. Psalm, chapter 102, and verse number 11. I want to encourage you, I don't often do it, Dr. Belcher, you know it, but I want to encourage you to be back tonight at 6 o'clock, because I'm going to be announcing right now what I'm preaching, Lord willing, in the 6 o'clock hour. I don't often do that. There's a reason I don't do that. I have sermon titles that I don't want you to hear till you're in the building, the doors are locked, and we've got armed guards at the doors. Sermon titles like, How You Can Tell You're 100% Backslidden. Sermon titles like, When a Christian Rides on a Long Old Broom and Wears a Pointed Black Hat. Oh, yeah. Sermon titles like, When God Gets in a Killing Mood. Those are all actual sermon titles. They're not crowd builders, but they're sermon titles. So because of that, I don't often announce what I'm going to preach before I preach it, but I feel strangely impressed this morning to announce that tonight in the 6 o'clock hour, I'll be preaching on the subject, what's the church going to do with this space of grace. You won't want to miss the service tonight. In fact, if I had to choose between this morning and this evening, I wouldn't even come this morning. I'd just come this evening. So you'll want to be in your place tonight as I preach on the subject, what's the church going to do with this space of grace? Book of Psalms, chapter 102, and I'll take but one verse of scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 11. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God, Psalm chapter 102 and verse number 11. On a strictly personal note, I must make mention that I so appreciate that a year ago I was scheduled to be here for our revival meeting but could not come because of the homegoing of my precious mother. And I want to thank publicly, as I've done privately, Dr. and Mrs. Belcher and the church family for your kindness to our family during that time. You know, heaven has always been near and dear to the heart of the child of God. But when you get a loved one there, it becomes just near and dear. And thank you, Dr. Belcher and church family, for your kindness a year ago. Psalm chapter 102 and verse 11. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I'm withered like grass. Here is one verse of scripture that is made up of two phrases or two statements. I would focus our attention on the first statement, my days are like a shadow that declineth. Do you see it? There it is, my days are like a shadow that declineth. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject this morning, the shadow is getting smaller. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the Word of God. If in my heart I want to be a blessing, but the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts this morning, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from this morning. And Lord, I'd request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And you may be seated. Every person this side of the portal of eternity has a silhouette that is plainly shrinking. With the turning of each calendar page, days are dwindling down for both the sinner and the saint. Wise is the individual that wakes up to the Word of God's inspired warning, life is fleeting and afterlife is forever. The shadow is getting smaller. In the book of Psalms, chapter 102, Psalm chapter 102, we find the prayer of the afflicted. Now, if you even have a casual understanding of the Bible, you know that the book of Psalms is the prayer book, the praise book, the supplication book, the song book of the Bible. And the theme and the topic and the truth of Psalm 102 is the prayer of the afflicted. This chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this: the psalmist's travail, verses 1 through 11, and then the psalmist's testimony, verses 12 through 28. It is while the unknown psalmist is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the psalmist's travail that a person reads a soul-shaking phrase. Verse 11, my days are like a shadow that declineth. The word declineth means to be gone. Three times in the span of 28 verses, the psalmist speaks of the shortness of people's sojourn in three snapshots. Smoke, verse 3. Grass, verse 4. And then shadow, verse 11. The sister verse of Psalm 102:11 is Ecclesiastes 6:12. For who knoweth what is good for a man in his life, all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? That prince of preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, once said about our text, we come and we go. We are here such a little while that we can scarcely be said to be. For we do not begin to be before we close our eyes so far as this world is concerned. Never forget, while the rapid days of both the unbeliever and believer are diminishing, this should be the red letter day for both to do business with deity. Now, if you miss everything that I preached this morning, I pray that you would not miss that. And it even bears repeating. While the rapid days of both the unbeliever and believer are diminishing, this should be the red letter day for both to do business with deity. Friend, you and I, both the lost and the saved, need to know that our shadow is shrinking. Now, if it were possible to measure our shadow at the start of this service and then measure our shadow at the stop of this service, though it may only be millimeters, every one of us would note and notice that our shadow is getting smaller. Our days are dwindling. Our silhouette is shrinking. So quickly this morning, there are several things that every person, whether lost or saved, needs to do, oh my, with their dwindling days. The shadow is getting smaller. Number one, consider your looming departure. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. A thing that every person needs to do with their dwindling days is to consider their looming departure. In Hebrews 9:27, the Apostle Paul tells us that every member of the human race has an appointment with death and an appraisement with a thrice holy God. A man, woman, boy, and girl can change their appointment with the doctor, the tax accountant, the personal attorney, the optometrist, the orthodontist, the chiropractor, the barber, the beautician, the banker, or the car salesman, but no one will change their place, protocol, or plan in the date book of divinity. It was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. that once said, every graveyard you ever saw is a little footprint that sin made. Mark it down. In God's appointment book, nobody changes the hour, minute, or even second that they run head on with the funeral director and their favorite judge of time and eternity. This, Dr. Belcher, was no doubt the truth on the heart of the hymn writer when he wrote, "Why not come to Jesus now? You have wandered far away. Do not risk another day. Do not turn from God your face. But today, accept his grace. Why not now?" Friend, you and I, the lost and the saved, because of our shrinking shadow, need to consider our looming departure. The Bible says in Revelation 20 and 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Every sinner that stands at the great judgment bar of God somewhere out in eternity will be shocked to be there and surprised that they arrive there so soon. More people have planned to be saved at the midnight hour of their life, but simply split hell wide open at 11:59 p.m. Our shadow is getting smaller. Our days are dwindling. Our silhouette is shrinking. And what we need to do is consider our looming departure. A marshal in Napoleon's army, a man who was devotedly and enthusiastically attached to him, was mortally wounded in battle. As the last struggle drew near, he lay dying in his tent. He sent for his chief. Napoleon came. The poor man, Dr. Belcher, thought that his emperor could do anything. Perhaps he even sought to put him in the place of God. So he earnestly pleaded with his leader to save his life. The emperor sadly shook his head and turned away. But as the dying man felt the cold, merciless hand of death drawing him irresistibly behind the curtain of the unseen world, he was still heard to shriek out, "Save me, Napoleon, save me." In the hour of death, that soldier discovered that even the powerful Napoleon could not give him physical life. And so will every lost sinner who didn't give thought of their shrinking shadow be stunned at the end and shout to everyone but the captain of salvation, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, "Save me, save me, save me." Oh, I want you to know that our shadow is getting smaller. Our days are dwindling. Our silhouette is shrinking. So what we need to do is consider our looming departure. Number two, I know I'm going to get stuck here. Cease your ludicrous discrepancies. Ephesians 4:26, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." A thing that every person needs to do with their dwindling days is cease their ludicrous discrepancies. In Ephesians 4:26, the Apostle Paul tells us that there are some things to stay mad about and some things to only stay mad about until the sun pulls the blanket of darkness over its head and says goodnight to the world. More beautiful marriages, real friendships, and great churches, oh my, have been blown to smithereens because of 100% disobedience to this single scripture. Friend, you and I, the lost and the saved, because of our shrinking shadow, need to cease our ludicrous discrepancies. Now, let me try to help you this morning if I can. If it's not going to matter a billion years from now, then why in the world would you let it bother you now? Why in the world would you let it bug you now? I'm preaching to some man that you're mad at your wife because she squeezes the toothpaste tube where you think she shouldn't squeeze it. And I'm preaching to some wives that you're mad at your husband because he left his nasty, dirty, smelly work socks on the chandelier in the dining room. Oh, I'd be ticked about that too. But you're bugged and you're bothered about things that are not even going to matter. If it's not going to matter a billion years from now, then why in the world would you let it bother you now? There are a whole lot of people, Dr. Belcher, that are bust up and bugged and bothered about a whole lot of stuff that's not even going to matter. You see, our shadow's getting smaller. Our days are dwindling. Our silhouette is shrinking, and what we need to do is cease our ludicrous discrepancies. Well, there are three biblical things that'll help the believer get beyond their trivial bothers. It may shock you, stun you, and even surprise you, but first of all, stay in your lane. Hebrews 12:1, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. A biblical thing that will help the believer get beyond their trivial bothers is stay in your lane. If you're running your own race, then that doesn't even leave you 5 minutes in a day to try and run somebody else's race. Now, you know I have great regard and great respect for my precious friend, Dr. Belcher, but in these 30 years that he's faithfully been in this pulpit, I don't have time to run his race, and he doesn't have time to run my race. And you know, it would help all of us to just realize, stay in your lane. First this year, Brother Levi, I was in a revival meeting in Camden, North Carolina. In fact, it was my first revival meeting of the year. I was in my motel room. It was Saturday night, about 10:30, and I got a text message from a young preacher. Now, mind you, first revival meeting of the year, January 2025. I'm in the motel room. I'm getting ready to start that revival meeting in the morning. Here comes a text from a young preacher. I looked at it and read it and thought to myself, this has nothing to do with me. Then I read it again and thought to myself, this has nothing to do with him. And then I read it one more time and thought, this has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with him. It has nothing to do with us. And so I text him back just two words, call me. Now, not only did curiosity kill the cat, but curiosity got a return phone call. And that young man called me. And listen, if you want to see a side of John Hamlin not many have seen and lived to tell, then just try to shove me, just try to bump me, just try to push me out of my lane. And I told that young man in surround sound, stay in your lane. A lot of things you're bothered about right now would cease within 5 seconds, if you just said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to stay in my lane. It's kind of like a choir member being mad about what ply of diaper the nursery workers are using in the nursery. Don't bow your head. We're nowhere near closing in prayer time. Stay in your lane. Secondly, some things eternity fixes. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You see, a biblical thing that will help the believer get beyond their trivial bothers is some things eternity fixes. Don't fret. The books are going to be balanced. Now, they may not be balanced today, and they may not be balanced $1,000 tomorrow, but mark it down and mark it well. The books are going to be balanced. Some things eternity fixes. Thirdly, stop talking about it. Proverbs 17:1, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith. Oh, a biblical thing that will help the believer get beyond their trivial bothers. Stop talking about it. You'll enjoy your next meal if you don't have appetizer, main course, and dessert of all that bugged you in the last 31 days, and those with you will enjoy their meal too. There are a lot of things that we give life to. There's a lot of things we give legs to that simply would die a natural death if we just simply stop talking about it. Oh, that every single believer that was in this service this morning and watching by way of the internet would realize the ways that we can get over our trivial bothers. Stay in your lane. Some things eternity fixes, and stop talking about it. While I was preaching in Rossville, Georgia one night, the Victory Baptist Church, one of my heroes, Dr. Sammy Allen, Dr. Belcher, walked in, came to hear me that night. And during the part of the service where preachers introduce themselves and place a mental bookmarker there and allow me to say, I don't know what you think about Dr. Sammy Allen, but to me, I mean like a Bible character. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Sammy Allen. It's like a Bible character. I was so honored that Dr. Allen would come to hear me preach. And during that fellowship time, Mrs. Hamlin, you're there. You were there. You remember it. The moderator, the pastor, said to all the preachers there, now stand and introduce yourself. And of course, Dr. Allen didn't have to introduce himself. Everybody knew he was there and everybody knew who he was. But when it came his turn to stand and introduce himself, I guess Dr. Sammy Allen didn't hear that, because he stood up and this is what he said. He said, if I have a problem with you, I'll talk to you. Talk to the Lord or study to be quiet. And slowly sat down. Now, did you catch that? This was the time of the service when preachers introduced themselves, and that hero of mine stood up and said, and didn't introduce himself, he just simply said, if I have a problem with you, talk to the Lord, or study to be quiet, and slowly sat down. And in my heart, I said, bingo, which, by the way, that's the first time that's ever been said in a fundamental church. I said, bingo, that right there would cure and cease a whole lot of the ceaseless drama that sometimes finds its way down at the house of God. Our shadow is getting smaller. Our days are dwindling. Our silhouette is shrinking. And what we need to do is cease your ludicrous discrepancies. Number three, calculate your lasting dividends. Matthew 6:20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. A thing that every person needs to do with their dwindling days is calculate their lasting dividends. In Matthew 6:20, the apostle Matthew tells us that the lovely Lord Jesus Christ made it plain that an individual can be a millionaire on earth and a panhandler in eternity. This just in, what you as a believer deposit in glory's bank will be safe from the ruthless thieves and ravages of time. But that's not the case for what you deposit in the globe's bank. Selah, muse on that for a moment. Friend, you and I, the lost and the saved, because of our shrinking shadow, need to calculate our lasting dividends. Dr. George W. Truett was entertained on one occasion in the home of a wealthy oil man in Texas. After the dinner, the man took him to the roof of his home and indicated huge fields of oil derelicts and said, Dr. Truett, that's all mine. I came to this country 25 years ago penniless, and now I own everything as far as you can see in that direction. He then did, Dr. Belcher, the same thing with all the points of a compass and said of vast fields of grain, huge herds of cattle, and a great virgin forest, stating each and every time, it's all mine. 25 years ago, I was penniless, but I worked hard and saved, and today I own everything as far as you can see in every direction. He paused for the expected praise, but to his astonishment, it didn't come. Dr. Truett laid a hand lovingly on his shoulder, pointed upward, and said, my friend, how much do you own in that direction? The wealthy old man dropped his head in shame and said, I never thought of that. Right now, believer, is the Holy Ghost inside of your heart, pointing towards heaven, asking you how much you own, pointing towards heaven and asking you how much you own in your heart, saying, psst, pointing towards heaven and asking you how much you own in that direction. Calculate your lasting dividends. And then number four, and last of all, my time is gone. Oh, my time is gone. I'm out like Kamala Harris in a legitimate election. I've been waiting a whole year for that one right there. Not only number one, consider your looming departure. And number two, cease your ludicrous discrepancies. And number three, calculate your lasting dividends. But number four, and last of all, consecrate your left days. Psalm 39:4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am, a thing that every person needs to do with their dwindling days is to consecrate their left days. In Psalm 39:4, the psalmist David tells us that he asked God how much time he had remaining that he could reach his maximum, oh my, spiritual potential. An individual may have on their lips right now the burning question, but what does it mean for the child of God to consecrate their left days? Well, biblically and basically, the answer to that astute question is making sure you're in church every time the door squeaks, in the Bible daily, in the prayer closet with every calendar page, in the effort of bringing someone to the foot of the cross every 24/7, and in the activity of waving the white flag of surrender each and every day. Look at our text, Psalm 102:11. My days are like a shadow that declineth. My days are like a shadow that declineth. Psalm 102:11, my days are like a shadow that declineth. Friend, you and I, the lost and the saved, because of our shrinking shadow, need to consecrate our left days. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hang on to your pew. Every vacant slot of service in every local church would be more than filled, even with substitutes, if only half of the Christians in any given service put themselves along with their offering envelope in the offering plate. Now, I'm of the contention, and yes, conviction, that our offering plates are too small. In fact, if we were to run down to Kentucky Fried Chicken and get some new, never used, clean chicken buckets, they still would be too small, even if we wrap them in green wrapping paper. I think what we ought to do is have offering wheelbarrows. treasurer said amen right there. Well, to have offering wheelbarrows so we can not only put our tithe and offering envelope in it, but pardon me, we can put ourselves in it as well. See, we all have a shadow. That shadow's getting smaller. Our days are dwindling. Our silhouette is shrinking. Dr. Belcher, I'm 64 years old. That's hard to believe. It seems like just yesterday, Mrs. Samuel and I were high school sweethearts in high school. It seems like just yesterday, Brother Levi, that I was the point guard, starting guard for the inner city Christian high school. And my last game, home game, they retired my number. And they hung it up in the rafters. That's not true, but it's my story and I'm sticking to it. Older you get, the greater you were. But it does seem just like yesterday that we were dating. It seems just like yesterday I was in high school. It seems just like yesterday I was starting on the revival road. It seems just like yesterday we were bringing our son Aaron home from the hospital and our daughter Sarah home from the hospital. And now, a lot of time has passed. But it just goes to prove the Bible is forever right. Amen. Our shadow is getting smaller. Our days are dwindling. Our silhouette is shrinking. You say, well, Dr. Hamlin, I'm not like you and I'm not like Dr. Belcher and I'm not like so many that got saved and surrendered right off the starting block. And boy, I've got some regret and I've got some remorse. That may be the case, but I've got some good news for you. You can surrender this morning, and whether you have many days or only a few days, God will give you a fresh start and you can make those many or a few days count for the cause of Christ. I'm closing with this. In 17, or rather 18, in 1872, David Livingston, the great missionary, wrote in his diary, March 19th, my birthday. I've got to interject. David Livingston and I share a birthday. March 19th. Not the same year. Oh, no, not the same year. But we share a birthday. David Livingston wrote in his diary, March 19th, my birthday. He was 59 at the time. My Jesus, my King, my life, my all. I again dedicate my whole self to thee. Accept and grant, O gracious Father, that ere this year is gone, I may finish my work. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. And then on May 1st, 1873, a year, and but a handful of months later, they found him in his hut, kneeling at the bedside with his head buried in his hands upon the pillow. He died in the act of prayer in Zimbabwe, Africa, on David Livingston Memorial in Westminster Abbey. Now, mind you, that's where they bury kings, and that's where they bury statesmen, prime ministers, the likes of Winston Churchill. That's where they bury queens. They buried David Livingston in Westminster Abbey, and on his memorial are the words, for 30 years his life was spent in unwearied effort to evangelize the native races. You see, David Livingston consecrated his left days. He took his life and made it count. I can't think of anything sadder for a saint than to come to the end of this spiritual sojourn and have done nothing for the Savior. Consecrate your left days. We have seen from the pages of the Bible what everyone lost and saved needs to do because of their shrinking shadow. And when this day comes to an end, each and every one of us will have a smaller silhouette. So now is the time. This is the place. And yes, now is even the second to realize we've got to do something because of this shrinking shadow. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Psalm 102:11, my days are like a shadow that declineth. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I wonder who could lift their hand, main floor, balcony, balcony, main floor. Who could raise their hand and say, preacher, I know that I know that I know that I know. If I were to die right now, heaven is my eternal home. I'm saved and sure. Saved and sure. You'd lift your hand and leave it all over the house. Main floor, balcony, balcony, main floor. Saved and sure. Saved and sure. Saved and sure. Thank you. May I put them down. You're here this morning, dear one, and you couldn't raise your hand, but you would lift it now, and by raising it, you're saying, I need to be saved, and I need to trust Christ. And preacher, I want to know that when this life is over, I want to know that heaven is my forever home. You'd lift your hand and say, pray for me. Pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. God bless you back there, sir. I see that hand. Pray for me. Need to be saved. You're here this morning, and as a believer, God has spoken to your heart. And whether they may be few or many, you want your life to count for Christ. You'd lift your hand all over, main floor, balcony, balcony, main floor, all over. I want my life to count for Christ. All over. By the way, that's what revival is. We can give a myriad of definitions. We can give many descriptions, but that's what revival really is. Really is. It's saying, you know what? I want my life to count. Thank you. May I put them down. You may be here and need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You may be here and need to unite with this great church. You may be here and just forgive me, please. I don't know how to put it another way. You just need old-fashioned get right with God. And you lift your hand and say, that's me. God bless you there. Others, that's me. Need to join this church. God bless you there. Need to be baptized. Need to just old-fashioned get right with God. Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. We stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for the kind attention of this audience. And I pray, Lord, not one in any way would grieve, resist, or quench the Holy Ghost. Lord, may this be a time of great and glorious victory. In Jesus' name.